With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport Magazine and Autosport.com, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. And today, we're going from Formula One and taking two steps down the single-seater ladder, because today, with the championship wrapped up at Monza, we're taking a look at FIA Formula 3 and asking, why is F3 a series that every F1 fan should have an eye on? Who had a standout year this year, and which names we might just be seeing a lot more of in the future. Let's get up to speed with Autosport's Megan White. Hey Megan, welcome back to the podcast. It's been too long, frankly.
Hello Martin, it certainly has been.
This is your second year with Autosport, your first on the F2 and F3 beats. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. You know, moving up from covering F3 and W series last year to covering F2 and F3 this year, has been fantastic. It's been great to see some of the really standout young talent coming through the ranks. Got to a few races, seen some drama, as F3 always has, but this year's been particularly chaotic, and seen some absolutely incredible racing. You know, there's been some really standout races, considering the age of some of these drivers and you know, the amount of time they've been racing. Some of it has been absolutely phenomenal. It's been a pleasure. It's been brilliant. We've had some really good insight, had some really good racing, and had some really good little nuggets of goss from the drivers. So it's been great.
Now, look, the racing is so good. And that, you know, it is a spec series. Now, I'm sure lots of our listeners do know, but for anyone who isn't fully up to speed, F2 and F3, they are spec series. Just remind us about the chassis they use, things like the engine, some of the key technical regulations. Because, again, if you're not super into it at the moment and you're maybe going to cover, you know, maybe a Formula One fan wants to watch a bit more of it next year, they do look like little Formula One cars. What are the similarities? What are the differences?
It's quite a busy grid. 30 F3 cars on the grid, which contributes to some exciting racing. It's a Dallara chassis, mechachrome engine. They do look similar. So they've got the halo. They run Pirelli rubber, but there's only one compound. So they don't have pit stops during either the feature race or the sprint race. They just use the one compound. And they have DRS. They're quite similar in a lot of ways to F1 cars. They're just, you know, not as powerful. They have run on 9 F1 weekends this year alongside F2, which had 14 rounds. And it's the kind of first step on that three-tier pyramid towards F1. So a lot of the drivers have stepped up from championships like Formula Regional European or GB3, and they're making that next big step up to F1, into the F1 world, the F1 weekend. Different paddock, but next to the F1 paddock. So for these drivers coming up, this is their first big shot to impress F1 teams and F2 teams as well for when they make that next step up. But it is a big deal, and it's really a lot of exciting racing that people should get more on board with, I think.
Totally. Formula 3, if you include predecessors, names like GP3 or Euro F3 over the years. And of course, these days, FIA Formula 3 is fully in support of Formula 1. It races at those rounds. But over the years, there's been some really big names.
You look at the F1 paddock and you look at where they've come from, and almost every driver has come from GP3, Euro F3, what is now FIA F3. So the likes of Charles Leclerc, George Russell, they both won F3 in their rookie season, and then moved up to F2 and did the same, and then moved up to F1. But you've got the likes of, Oscar Piastri, who also did that the same as Leclerc and Russell. You've got Bottas, you've got Tsunoda, Esteban Ocon, Carlos Sainz. All these drivers have started in F3 or the equivalent on that journey to the F1 paddock. So it's the sort of place where you're going to see the drivers who in a few years will be F1 drivers or will hope to be F1 drivers. So Victor Martins, newly crowned champion, he's now going to be moving up to F2. The champion can't stay in the series. They have to move on. So Victor Martins will be looking to make his move up to F2. And the next step from that, if he can get a seat, is F1. So F3 is the place to look if you want to know who's going to be in F1 in a few years. This is where you need to keep an eye on.
And just look at all the news lately around Colton Herta, someone who hasn't done that typical journey that other F1 drivers have, and a fantastic driver. And we start to talk about super licenses and things like that. So it gets really hard for drivers that do have their sights set on F1 that want to do it a slightly different way. Not impossible, absolutely not impossible. And of course, next week we will do, if you're listening to this thinking, just F3. Yes, no, Megan will do an F2 show next week for us on the podcast, just so you know. And I'm sure we'll get into then about the idea of leaving championships as champion. But what if there is nowhere to go in Formula One next? What do you do? And we'll take a look at some of those circumstances. So yeah, you mentioned 9 rounds then in 2022. Formula 3 is all wrapped up now. Where did we go racing in Formula 3 this year?
So the season kicked off in Bahrain, same time as the F1 season. So it started in Bahrain. There are two races every weekend. There's a sprint race on Saturday and a feature race on Sunday. Then there was a bit of a gap. F3 went to Imola, and then it was Barcelona, Silverstone, and then the Red Bull Ring was the doubleheader in July. And then there was a little bit of a gap before Hungary. Then it was the summer break, and then we had the triple header to round off the season of Spa, Zandvoort and Monza. And what a triple header that was.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get into that and review the season. Hey, who are the big names in F3? Who were the last year's champions coming back into this season? Who were the ones that you wanted to watch this year?
Since the start of this era of F3, Prema have always dominated. They came into this era of F3 in 2019. They won the double straight away with Robert Schwartzman and took the team's title. Same again the following year with Piastri. Really, really strong team, always perform well. They are very dominant across both junior series. 2021, Dennis Hauger took the team's took the driver's title for them, but Trident actually beat them to the team's title, not by very much, but they did. So they had a bit of a wobble there, but still a great year for Prema. And then this year, Victor Martins took the driver's title for ART, who are also one of the top performing teams with Prema and Trident, but Prema have again secured the team's title. So 3 out of 4 on both fronts for Prema.
Let's go through the season then and have a look at who did well as the year progressed. We started in Bahrain. Now, it wasn't your first, because your first one was in Spain, right, in terms of the one you first travelled to. So beginning of the season, covering that remotely. What was it like for Formula 3 to be back this year?
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, by the time it started again, it felt like F3 had been away for a long time, given that the title's normally wrapped up quite a bit earlier than the F1 or the F2 title. So we came back in Bahrain, characteristically dramatic opening round, sprint race, Ollie Bearman, rookie for Prema. crosses the line first and then is given a track limits penalty and has the win taken away, and it's given to Isaac Hadjar, who drives for High Tech. So straight away, it set the tone. This is going to be a chaotic year. So it was Hadjar who got the sprint race win in Bahrain, and Victor Martins, who you will hear a lot more about, took the feature race win. Good way to start the season. And from there, Martins pretty much dominated. He led almost the whole season. There was an interesting title battle between him and Isaac Hadjar. Hadjar took the lead of the standings in Hungary, but by Zandvoort, Victor Martins had taken it back, and then he went on to win from there. There were some interesting kind of challenges around, actually, because Zane Maloney had been running, you know, seventh in the standings for a lot of the season, won the final three feature races of the season, and finished second overall. So there was quite a lot of close running. You know, honourable mentions to Ollie Bearman. He took double podiums at Spa and Monza before going on to finish third in the standings as a rookie, which Zane Maloney was also a rookie. They both had fantastic seasons. And Victor Martins, when asked after he'd been crowned champion, who he thought had been really impressive, Bearman and Maloney were the two who he picked out. And I think they, you know, had an absolutely incredible season. I'll be really interested to see what happens with those two next year. It was a great season. It was just so much action, so much swapping and changing in the standings. There were 10 different winners of races. There was people who you expected to be doing really well, not doing so well. There was these surprise challenges from the likes of Zane Maloney and Ollie Bearman. And it was an absolutely brilliant season.
After Bahrain, it then Formula 3 moved to, following Formula 1, to some of those circuits that will prove really invaluable knowledge for these drivers as they move through the single-seater ladder. Tracks like Imola, and then also Spain as well, which was your first race that you covered on the ground. What were those two races like coming into the European season?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, there was surprise winners. David Vardales won the sprint race in Barcelona for Campos, who aren't, you know, by no stretch of the imagination are they a bad team, but they were. It was a surprise win for David Vardales. It was really fantastic to see him take his first win. You know, Franco Colapinto winning a race for Van Amersfoort Racing. It's their first season in F3 this year, having competed in, you know, Euro Formula Open and other more junior series. So that was great to see, you know, a new team to the series taking a win in the third race of the season at Imola. That was brilliant. You saw Roman Stanek win in Imola. Trident driver, again, very strong team, one of the top three. And then Barcelona was, again, a brilliantly chaotic race. There was penalties, there was wins changing hands, there was, you know, all the things you'd expect from F3.
Because Italy was either wet or damp. Was it full wets at Imola?
Oh, Imola was wet, and it was one of those mornings.
That was the wet one.
It was one of those mornings where you can see when they start the broadcast a bit before F3, it's like, oh no, it's going to be wet, and it had just about dried up. It was it wasn't too bad by the time the feature race rolled round at whatever time. It was something like 8 a.m. Roman Stanek beat Ollie Bearman, but there were mixed conditions. There were three safety car periods. There was wets. There was slicks. There was all sorts. Zane Maloney had looked like he was going to win that race, but he span out from P1 on the safety car restart, the second one, and Bearman got the lead, and then Stanek took the lead on the penultimate lap, and it was absolutely brilliant. Imola's a great circuit for racing, and it definitely proved that there. There was chaos on the third safety car restart. There was a clash with Grégoire Saucy and Ollie Bearman. There was Jack Crawford sneaking through. There was Hadjar sneaking through. So it was definitely a great race. If you need to go back and watch some F3 from this season, the Imola feature race is a good place to start.
And then, of course, you moved to Silverstone, which you were also at with much of the Autosport team, and a couple of Brits who did well there. Stick around, we'll get on to that. We'll talk end of the season, which was frankly crazy, and what it means for Formula 3 and who to look out for when it returns next year. Stick around, all of those storylines are on the way.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Okay, let's get back to the Autosport podcast now. And we were talking a Formula 3 season review. And so, yeah, everyone can remember, probably if you're a Formula 1 fan, earlier this summer when F1 hit Silverstone. But of course, on that support bill is a bunch of fantastic racing. And that includes Formula 3 and some of the Brits doing well.
Silverstone was absolutely brilliant. And it was great to see Zach O'Sullivan took pole for Sunday's feature race with Carlin. So, you know, British driver, British team. Home race at Silverstone.
First pole for them in Formula 3, wasn't it? So
yeah, and he actually he started on pole. He finished second, but to get a podium, you know, at his home race, he's a Williams Academy driver as well. So to have that kind of like real home feel for him, I think was great, and I think it probably helped him. I think the fact that he had all that support behind him really, really helped. And he actually went on to finish 11th in the standings, but that's actually the highest a Carlin driver has finished in this era of F3. So I'm hoping to get a bit more of a chat with Zach about that soon, because he had a great season, and I think he's, you know, he's destined for big things next year. He won GB3 in 2021 with Carlin. And he came second in British F4 the year before. So he's definitely, you know, he's a strong contender. And I think with that extra little push next year, he could be one to watch as well for the title.
And then I know you're such a big fan of the track in Austria. It's great. It's great for fans, great for those working at the event as well. We all get treated very nicely in Austria. Great place to go. And that was a safety car start, wasn't it? Or that was a wet one as well?
Yeah, it was chaotic. The word chaotic comes up a lot when discussing F3. There was a red flagged qualifying. There was a lights to flag win from Isaac Hadjar at a wet Red Bull ring. Formation lap started behind the safety car. There was a rolling restart. And Isaac Hadjar just absolutely went for it. Big gap by halfway through the race and just held on. And he took his second win. He'd won the sprint race at Silverstone. So he then took the feature race win at the Red Bull ring as well. And that was when he really, you know, got a bit closer to Victor in the standings. It was wet. It was just chaotic. There's contact, there's wet tires, there's yellow flags, there's people spinning, there was teammates colliding, the Chirouz teammates. The Chirouz number 15 seat has had quite a lot of drivers in it this year, more drivers than the Sugar Babes has had members. And there was Zdeněk Čovanec was sitting in that seat and he collided with Francesco Pizzi, and Malvestiti span behind them. And then there was yellow flags because someone had a broken wing. And it was just very dramatic, very good racing. And I think it's something that F3 is really good for, is that like fast paced, action packed drama that maybe sometimes F1, when it's a bit processional, you need that F3 support race just to spice things up a bit.
F1 can be a slow burn. And I made this point on the Formula One review podcast after Monza as well, that's why I like Formula One. Like, I like Grand Prix racing because it's the slow burn. I compared it to test match, not T20. But that's why, you know, Grand Prix racing, it is endurance racing. It's not 6 or 12 or 24 hours, but it is an endurance race. So yeah, Formula 3 is just brilliant for, right, out of the blocks and here we go. So next you move on to the Hungaroring, also, you know, a legendary racing venue. That's not one that you made it to, but how was the racing there?
Yeah, again, chaotic and wet.
The thing
with F3 taking place first thing in the morning is that often if it's rained overnight, it hasn't had a chance to dry properly yet, when it will have done by 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. when F1 starts. So F3 normally gets the worst conditions. If it's gonna be wet, if it's gonna have been, you know, damp overnight, F3 has to deal with that. And so, you know, there was the sprint race on the Saturday was dramatic. Kyle Collette took his maiden win, which was lovely to see. He drives for MP Motorsport, who you'll hear a lot more about in the F2 podcast. And Oliver Goerther as well was sitting in he's leading Euroformula Open at the moment. And he was sitting in at Campos for Hunter Yaney, who was injured. And he had a fantastic race. You know, seeing someone make their F3 debut and do such an amazing job as he did, I think Oliver Goerther deserves to be promoted to F3 next year. So that was a crazy one. And then this feature race on the Sunday was a bit calmer by F3 standards, and Alexander Smollier won from pole. Fantastic job from him. And there was an interesting bit of strategy play from Zach O'Sullivan and Juan Manuel Correa, because F3 doesn't have pit stops, but if it's been wet and it's drying, they can change to slicks, and that's exactly what Zach O'Sullivan and Correa did, and they absolutely stormed through the field. I think they pitted from something like, you know, further than halfway through the pack. They were running like 16th, 17th, pitted for slicks, and Zach O'Sullivan ended up fourth. So he just absolutely went for it, and the guys had head on wet tyres were no match for the slick runners at all. It was brilliant to see, and Correa came across the line in sixth as well, which is also really nice to see.
And then we get into the run-in of the season, more legendary venues, so Spa and Zandvoort and then Monza. And you mentioned, you made reference to it at the beginning of the podcast, that's when, so Victor Martins didn't dominate in terms of, after Spain, we didn't see him winning again, but he was always there or thereabouts most of the time. But that's when, you mentioned, Zane Maloney had this incredible run-in. And we see some great results for Brit Oliver Behrmann as well. Just talk us through that last run in, that triple header, and of course the craziness of how the season ended.
Yeah, exactly. I think something that Victor has said himself is that he did make quite a lot of mistakes, but as you say, he was consistent. He was up there the whole time. He wasn't winning races, but he was up there the whole time. So when we came back from the summer break to Spa, it was really crucial for him to be near the top of the field. And yeah, it was Zane Maloney and Ollie Behrmann's weekend in Spa. They both had an absolutely brilliant session for both of them. Ollie took the sprint race win on the Saturday. It was his first series win. And it was great. Always great to see British drivers doing well. But, you know, Ollie drives Suprema. He's a Ferrari junior. And it was brilliant to see him get his first win, you know, especially after that disappointment at the first race of the season, crossing the line first, having that win taken away. To see him finally get that win at Spa was really great to see on the Saturday. And then on the Sunday, Kyle Collette started on pole. It went from there, and Zane Maloney again had a brilliant race and continued that form throughout the rest of the season. And that's how he ended up finishing second, because despite having had a crash in Saturday's feature race, he really bounced back and he had an amazing Sunday. Passed Kyle Collette for the lead on the first lap. Had a bit of tussling about who'd been off track and who hadn't. And won and took his first feature race win. And it was the first of three in a row. He took all the remaining three feature race wins for Trident, which was quite a turn up in form, given that he'd been running about seventh in the standings through most of the season. To then finish second with three feature race wins in a row was incredible. I don't know what he did on the summer break, but he must have worked hard.
And again, I'm sure most of our listeners know this, but for anyone who needs a little reminder, it's 10 points for the win in the sprint, 10-9-8, and it goes down to one, and then and a fastest lap point as well. And then in the feature race, it's 25 points for the win, down 18-15. And again, so you get points for pole and points for fastest lap, or a point at least. So how Monza ended, and you were at Monza, you were covering all this for us on the ground, the actual points finish in the Drivers' Championship, A, was incredibly tight in terms of Victor Martins and Zane Maloney and Oliver Behrmann, in fact, going down as well. But not only was there so few points between them, but also it was the craziest end to the F3 season. Talk us through that.
It was just unbelievable. And a lot of the drivers have said they wanted the race to restart. And so did Bruno Michel, the series CEO. It was very controversial. I mean, Victor Martins was crowned champion after a red flag. He'd been running in fourth. Zane Maloney was leading. Ollie Behrmann was running in second. And Victor Martins was running in third. And then the race was red flagged because there was a crash at Les Mo 2 and Kushmani and Brad Benavidez went into the barrier, and it was quite obvious after the crash had happened that there was going to need to be barrier repairs. That's fine. It's good to stop races if repairs need to be made rather than having a safety car or endangering any drivers. Stop the race. That's fine. They then didn't restart the race. There was five laps remaining. They didn't restart it. And after the red flag, Victor Martins was then given a 5-second penalty because he'd exceeded track limits. So that demoted him to fifth. But then the driver who'd been promoted to fourth, William Alitalo, was also given a 5-second penalty, which then promoted Martins back up to fourth and secured him the title. It had been so close on the points that really, I believe, it should have been restarted. The problem was with timing, with scheduling. F3 has run in an early window before F2, and there was an F2 feature race to come. And then there's Porsche Super Cup, and then there's the F1. So it's a very packed schedule on a Sunday. And Series CEO Bruno Michel said that he would have preferred a different end to the championship, given how close it was, given how much is at stake there. But, you know, Victor Martins was a very deserved champion. He took the title. Ollie Bearman took third in the standings in the end. He'd been running in second. And Zane Maloney, as I mentioned, finished second. But Ollie Bearman did say afterwards that he actually thinks if that race had been resumed, he could have caught Zane Maloney. He was really close. He was half a second behind him by the time it was red flagged. And that Victor Martins would actually have fallen back and his penalty would then have had more of an impact. Had that race been restarted, we may well have had a different champion, given how close it was, given how close the points were. As you said, Martins finished 5 points clear of Maloney in the standings in the end, and Ollie Bearman was 2 points behind him in third. It was so, so, so close, and the margins were so fine that if it had been restarted, you know, rolling start behind the safety car, if for example, Arthur Leclerc had passed Victor Martins, or Roman Stanek had passed Victor Martins, when Martin's penalty was then applied, he could have ended up way down the order, which then would have had massive effects on the championship. So I could really understand Ollie's disappointment and frustration with the way that it ended. But unfortunately, given the scheduling of an F1 weekend, especially on a Sunday, there isn't really much room to change things around. And I think that the FIA thought that the easiest thing to do was just to stop it so that F2 could then start on time, and then everything else could carry on. Bruno Michel suggested that he would have preferred the F2 race to have been shortened, given that the champion had already been crowned on Saturday, and that they could have then had a five lap shootout to the title, which I think would have been much more exciting. But I'm not the FIA, for better or for worse. So it was definitely a controversial ending. I mean, Isaac Hadjar had been running second in the standings, but he crashed out of qualifying on Friday. And it was heartbreaking. You see him get out of his car. He didn't get out of his car for ages. He was fine. He was just absolutely distraught. I think he knew when that happened on the Friday that was his title gone. Because he'd been running, really close to Victor in the standings. He was only going into the weekend, it was Martins on 126, Hadjar on 121, and then Stanek on 109. But after that qualifying crash, left Hadjar in 20th, and with the reverse grid on the Saturday as well, you only benefit if you're in the top 12. So he was way behind his rivals. With the sprint race on the Saturday, really closed the field up, and then it was that controversial feature race on Sunday. Hadjar finished fourth in the end on 123 points, with Stanek in fifth on 117, and Arthur Leclerc, brother of, finished sixth on 114 points. And I think he was quite disappointed with that, given that it was his second season. I think Arthur Leclerc probably would have thought he would be the leading Prema. I don't know that. I'm not psychic, but given that his rookie teammate finished third, I'd be interested to hear what Arthur thinks about that. But yeah, it was an absolutely crazy, action-packed season finale, fitting of the season that had preceded it. So it was another absolutely brilliant F3 season, and I expect there will be more of the same next year.
I know you want to have a word, sort of sum up some of the Autosport supported drivers as well, how they've done this year.
Yeah, so Zach O'Sullivan, who was an Autosport Young Driver of the Year award finalist last year, I mentioned briefly before, but he finished 11th in the standings. He took two podiums, and he was the highest placed Carlin driver in this era of F3. And I think he did a fantastic job. You know, he had some really strong points finishes. He took that second place at Silverstone. He had a really good outing at the Hungaroring as well. So I think there's lots more to see from Zach O'Sullivan. And Johnny Edgar as well, I think is an important one to mention. He missed a couple of rounds. He was diagnosed with Crohn's disease after Bahrain. He'd been feeling really unwell and he had to sit out a couple of rounds and the in-season test in Barcelona as well because of his diagnosis. But he came back at Silverstone at his home race. He scored points in the feature race and he went on to have a really good end to the season. He scored points in the last six races of the season. So he made an amazing comeback. He drove for Trident and he's a Red Bull junior as well. And he had a brilliant end to the season. I really hope Johnny's feeling a lot better and feeling up to seeing what he can do next year. Because again, it's really nice to see those young British drivers coming through and showing what they can do.
Well, that is our review of the Formula 3 season. Should we do it all over again this time next week and do FIA Formula 2?
I can't wait.
Go on then.
What a season. Yeah, I've got a lot to say about F2. What a season.
Brilliant. Oh, we look forward to it. Megan, thank you so much for joining us, as always, on the Autosport podcast. So much to talk about in those series that lead their way to Formula 1. Make sure you are subscribed to the Autosport podcast if you've just discovered us, if you're not already. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When Shopify says you can sell anywhere, they mean it. Woo, hold up. Just got a new sale. Order fulfilled and shipped. Inventory level's good. Whoa, Shopify doesn't mind if you're at sea level. Or on top of the world. You can run and grow your business anywhere. Climbing mountains is never easy, but at least Shopify gives me all the tools I need for my business to hit new peaks.
Whether you're selling carabiners or crop tops, start selling with Shopify today and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. We've built the platform so you can keep climbing and grow your business to new heights.
With Shopify, you really can sell to anyone from anywhere.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. 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 Internet connection required. Not available on mountaintops or seafloors.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.